Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at practicing the principles of Christian living. How do you live the Christian life? And you can find the study on abideinchrist.com, 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 and go to Sermons and Bible Studies. What's your favorite term to describe the Christian life? In order to express what Christ has done in their lives, sincere Christians often use words like sanctification, normal Christian life, abundant life, spirit-filled life, walking by the Spirit, walking in fellowship with God, living by faith, living a life pleasing to God, exchange life, crucified life, progressive, sanctified holy living, victorious Christian life, etc. All of these terms essentially mean the same thing: practicing the principles of the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. The biblical principle for living the Christian life is quite simply stated: the believer puts into daily practice the principles of the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to practice the biblical principles by the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to become a mature Christian growing in the character and the likeness of Jesus Christ. The believer puts into daily practice the principles of the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. God saved us so that we can know Him personally and enjoy the spiritual relationship with Him. When we accept Christ as a personal Savior, there's a new principle. God has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ so that He can come and live in us. The greatest mystery revealed to mankind is Christ in you, the hope of glory, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. This great principle is found in many passages of Scripture. In Colossians, Galatians, Romans, John, Christ is Himself the essence of the Christian life. The Apostle Paul wrote, "When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Christ is the life of the true believer in Jesus Christ, and the life we live is His life in us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." The Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. His prayer is that Christ may be invited into your heart and settle down in a permanent dwelling place. Christ wants to settle down and feel completely at home in our hearts as a permanent residence. Jesus said, "You must be born again." And the very foundation of this relationship with Him is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The foundation upon which we build the spiritual life is the new birth. You cannot have a special spiritual relationship with God without spiritual regeneration. Jesus said, "You must be born again." You must be born from above. You must have a spiritual birth. Jesus said, "I tell you the solemn truth, unless a person is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God," John chapter 3, verse 3. Every individual must have a new spiritual birth because he is dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. This is the reason why we need a spiritual birth. This is why we must be born again. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Let me make this absolutely clear. It's impossible to have an intimate personal relationship with God without being born spiritually. Your physical birth and your spiritual birth do not take place at the same time. Your physical birth is one thing. Your spiritual birth is an entirely different matter. And this is what Jesus was stressing to the sincere religious leader named Nicodemus. He was religious, high-minded, moral. He was one of the finest men in Jerusalem, but he was lost. He was a sinner. And Jesus told Nick that he must be born again. A spiritual birth must take place before anyone can ever enter into a saving relationship with God. Have you come under the conviction of your personal sin and unbelief and put your faith in Jesus Christ? A spiritual birth takes place the moment you trust in the saving death of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Your spiritual birth takes place the very moment in time when you place your trust in God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit brings about a spiritual birth, and you come alive spiritually, and you can then respond to the things of God. We must be born again. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. You are born spiritually the moment you trust in Christ as your Savior. However, the Christian life is a lifelong process. The Christian life begins the moment we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and it continues as long as we live on this earth. The Christian life is a lifelong process of growing and maturing spiritually in our relationship with God. By living in the power of the Holy Spirit, we put into practice a life based on biblical principles, and there are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. It's a lifelong process in which we practice the principles of the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. The believer is progressively and practically sanctified in his daily living. It takes a whole lifetime to become spiritually mature, and then we're not perfect until we see Jesus' face in glory. The believer who is not living the spiritual life is worldly, carnal, immature. He is following the ways of this world and not obeying God's word. The Scriptures place all people in one of these three categories. The natural man, the unsaved, unspiritual, dead in trespasses and sins in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The spiritual man, saved and growing spiritually in the likeness of Christ. And the worldly man, saved but spiritually immature. Which category best describes your spiritual life? Why? The normal Christian life is a progression from being worldly Christian to a spiritual Christian growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verses 5 through 8 tells us, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We, as born-again believers, have a new position, a new relationship with God. This lifelong process is an outflow from our perfect positional sanctification. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, "Even so, consider, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." This is one of the most important verses of Scriptures for the true believer. Paul says to be constantly reckoning, or to be constantly counting on the fact that you are a new creature. Christ died for your sins. He paid all of your sin debt. The wages of sin is death, and Christ paid that wage for you. But now, you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. Christ rose from the dead, and you are in Him. And Christ lives in you because you are a new spiritual person, just like one raised from the dead. Our salvation came about at a certain time and place when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of our sins, and we received a free gift of eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Everything in the Christian life operates from that new position in Jesus Christ. A great exchange has taken place. We are properly related to God because of our eternal position in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made him, Jesus Christ, who did not know sin, to be sin for us, in order that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." God made Him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to the believer in such a way that we stand in a perfect position before God, not in our own self-righteousness, but in Christ's righteousness. Indeed, as John Bunyan said, "Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness." And the only way we can have a standing before the Lord God is in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, we become the righteousness of God. We stand clothed in His perfect righteousness. We have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and the righteousness of God is imputed to us through faith in Christ. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ. The believing sinner is justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, "being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, "you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Sanctification simply means to be set apart, to be set apart from this world to the Lord God, to be reserved for His unique use. And just as we have emphasized that everything we do in the Christian life is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, we need to stress that it is impossible to live this life without power of the Holy Spirit enabling us. We have a vital union with Jesus Christ. The Christian life cannot be lived in our own personal power. This is a spiritual life. It is a spiritual battle we fight. And only the Holy Spirit can produce the life of Christ in us. The only person who can live the Christian life is Jesus Christ. I cannot live it. Only Christ can live His life. But the great mystery is, Christ in you is the hope of glory. I in you, you in me, is the great principle. And God has put us in Christ and Christ in us in a vital union. It is Christ living in you and me that allows us to live the Christian life. Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9 tells us, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, this person does not belong to Him. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the Holy Spirit all refer to the same person. He has taken up residence in our spiritual person, and God allows us to have a personal relationship with Him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11 tells us, moreover, if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive through His Spirit who lives in you. The fruit of righteousness is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the very life of Christ lived in and through us. Paul gives us a contrast to the works of the flesh and the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Our responsibility is to walk by the Spirit. That is, let the Holy Spirit regulate our conduct. We are habitually to order our manner of life by the Holy Spirit. It is our responsibility to give Him the freedom to control our lives. And as we make ourselves available to Him, He takes the control of our thoughts and in turn our emotions and our behavior. And as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So from this vital union with Jesus Christ, we are to practice our position. And therefore continue working out your salvation with awe and reverence for the one bringing forth in you both the desire and the effort for the sake of His good pleasure is God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Our responsibility is to work out what God has already worked in us through the new birth. And this is not work salvation. This is a practical sanctification. It is living the Christian life. Indeed, it is Christ living His life in us. Our calling is in holiness. And God's goal is to make us completely holy in the likeness of His Son. This is brought out in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, and 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. He will not stop until He accomplishes that in our lives. One day, we will be completely conformed to the image of His Son. God the Father chose us in Christ Jesus, that we shall be holy and blameless before Him, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And anything less is a cheap imitation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 tells us we have the responsibility to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. We live the Christian life as we consistently put into practice over time the principles in the Bible through the presence of the Holy Spirit. As the believer grows spiritually and matures, he depends more and more upon the Holy Spirit dwelling in his inner person. It is His presence that enables us to live the Christian life. And the more attention we give to the Word of God and obey its teaching, the more we will indeed practice our position in Christ. There are certain evidences that you will see in your spiritual life as you move from being a spiritual baby to a mature person. We will gradually become more and more like Christ in character, conduct, and conversation. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And that is the radical contrast to the works of the flesh that Paul gives in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. How would you like to live with someone whose life is filled with the deeds of the flesh? Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. What are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealous, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, Paul says, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible promises us that one day we will stand in the presence of the Lord. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. God has provided everything we need to be all that He wants us to be in this life. The Apostle Paul declared, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Christ can do all things superabundantly, over and above and beyond all that we ask or think according to His power that works within us. God is able to do within us that which is far beyond our abilities. It is not I, but it is Christ in me living His life in me. Therefore, our responsibility becomes quite clear. We must spend time in God's Word. The Apostle Paul declared, "All Scripture is inspired of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, and so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." We must learn to think biblically, and we need to saturate our minds in the Scriptures. We need to spend time memorizing, meditating on it, studying it, putting it into practice. And God has promised that the word that goes from His mouth shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. The Word of God performs its work in you who believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. In order to think biblically, we must memorize and meditate on the Word of God. The Lord God said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, and so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The word for meditate in the original means to speak with oneself in a low voice, as often done by those who are musing, to contemplate, to have in mind, to propose as the idea of someone muttering or murmuring. It's the low voice of someone talking to themselves, reading over and over the text itself, half aloud, reading and rereading. Why are the Scriptures so important? Well, the Bible tells us the Word of God renews the mind. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. and piercing as far as to the division of the soul and the spirit, of both the joints and the marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. As the inerrant, infallible Word of God, it has the authority and the power to penetrate into the depraved heart of sinful man and bring salvation. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. We need to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, who tested everything by the word of God. They were open-minded and eagerly received the message, examining the scriptures carefully every day to see if these things were so. And the result was many of them believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They accepted the facts after careful examination. And we cannot obey what we do not know. If we are to become mature Christians, we must know the biblical principles in order to apply them. We must, by faith, obey the Word of God. We must take God's Word as fact and apply it to our personal lives. We take God at His Word. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." John chapter 14, verse 15. We must act on what we know to be the truth, and the biblical principles must be applied to our daily lives. If you have never done so, will you please make a once and for all commitment of your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord? Jesus Christ purchased you, and He has every right to be the Lord and the Master of your life. He has every right to be your boss and to tell you what to do. Will you yield your life to Him in daily obedience to Jesus Christ? If you do not yield yourself to His control, you will continue to be a frustrated Christian. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 calls us this kind of dedication and obedience on a daily basis. "Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is the good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God." Make a personal commitment to live the Christian life by putting into daily practice the biblical principles by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. How encouraging it is in the Bible that God has not left us alone to live the Christian life. As we have already noted, it is impossible to live the Christian life. Christ is the only one who can live the Christian life. And therefore, if we're going to live the Christian life, Christ must live His own life in and through us as we make ourselves available to Him. I think the most neglected ministry in contemporary Christian life is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. It is by active dependence on His presence that we're enabled to grow up in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lives His life in and through those who believe on Him. Make a personal commitment right now to live the Christian life by putting into daily practice the biblical principles by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.